Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
You can make me promises as long as they come with a 5-diamond ring.
They say forgive and never forget, but I did forget to come up with a tagline today.
And I forgive. That was good. That worked. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 620-something. I just came hot off of watching Beverly Hills, Salt Lake City, a segment of the Salt Lake City after show, because I just needed to see one little thing, a clip of Watch What Happens Live, and I am ready to dive the fuck in. So welcome back. Did I say you guys, it's Andy's Girls, it's episode 620-something? I don't know.
Who's to say?
You guys, it's Andy's Girls, it's episode 620-something, and I'm so excited to have back a Bravoholic writer whose credits include Vogue, Vulture, The Cut, and the LA Times, among others, Tom Smythe. Tom Smith Smythe!
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
First question, is Milk and Don't Call Me Honey open for the holidays?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so you have an Etsy shop that is very well represented in the Clawfus and my apartment, where there are these iconic pop culture moments, including a lot of Bravo moments, certainly Housewives moments. And it's like this typography with this beautiful sketch illustration. I'm looking at one of Kim Kardashian that I was looking at yesterday, today for inspo, Not Bad for a Girl with No Talent, on the wall of the Clawfus. I have them throughout the apartment. Love, love, love. So what has been your, so you have prints available for the holidays. Mm-hmm. What do you think has been your top seller? What's like the number one Bravo moment for people's Bravo Hanukkahs? Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa.
White refrigerator and where people doing coke in the bathroom are both big, yeah, because there are places to put them.
Right.
It's in the quote for, mm-hmm, for both. Also, the Nicole Kidman AMC ad is a big one.
Yes.
We come to this place for magic. And then a lot of the times there'll be spikes in what's happening currently. So a big one lately has been Lisa Barlow going the distance.
Mm.
That's been a favorite. So,
wow, I love that. Yeah. I do have coke in the bathroom, quite literally, for you, for after as a party favor. But no, but I have that print in the bathroom, and it just really just genuinely brings me joy.
Yeah, you were the trailblazer on that placement, I think. Well, because I don't think it... I feel like I wasn't doing prints when you requested that. Oh. and so you really got the ball rolling. And,
the chutzpah.
Yeah,
the chutzpah. And,
I mean, thank you, because now I did it, and I took a break because it's a lot of work, but I wanted to kind of get back in the groove for the holidays, so that's been good, and I'll try to keep that shop up and running for as long as I can bear it.
Well, because the nice thing about it is there are so many, you know, incredible Bravo creators who do like great gifting, merch, yada yada, but your work, I mean, it just feels like beautiful to look at too, you know, where it's like you don't have to be in on the joke and also have an aesthetic that's not necessarily pleasing. Like, this is something that works with a lot of different designs, which I really appreciate.
It's definitely versatile, and what's great, I mean, it was originally all Housewives and then slowly kind of expanded to, like you were saying, the Kim Kardashian one and other just pop Nicole Kidman, other pop culture-y things that mostly unscripted, that lend themselves to... It's also just fun to see. I mean, so many accounts do similar things where it's just great to see these quotes written out.
Yes.
Because you hear them and it's like, wow, that's... sounds like poetry. And then once you see it written out, then you can really appreciate, like me transcribing all of these, I'm like, wow, this is the craziest assortment of words. And you sometimes, for visual learners, it's a great way to really appreciate the magic they come up with.
Absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite haikus of all time. And I've done, I don't know if I'm going to do it this year because my spirit is a little out to lunch, but I, for the last couple of years, I've done like top 25 moments of the year. Mm. And this is like an evergreen moment that I will always enjoy and appreciate. And sometimes if you're just like having a moment to think about the beauty and honestly, the ballet behind the words, the most important thing I think that has ever happened in the history of the universe, Meredith can go fuck herself. I'm done with her because I'm not a fucking whore and I don't cheat on my husband. Her and her dumb fucking family that poses. Why don't you own a house? Oh, wait, you can't because your husband changes jobs every 5 minutes. Meredith is a piece of fucking shit. I had your back and I'm offended by that. Fuck you. That fucking piece of shit, garbage whore. I fucking hate her. She's a whore. She fucked half of New York. She can go fuck herself. Like literally, like we're doing snaps. Incredible. Like no notes.
Yeah. I sent one phenomenal of those out yesterday.
So did you? Very, someone yeah bought it?
Mm-hmm. And that's a big one. I love put when it on the top of the tree. Block of text because mm-hmm then it's just. Also, I love getting on the mic and immediately shilling these and turning into Stacey Rush on QVC. Just within, and which I gave you fair warning.
Yeah, you said
Stacey would be coming
her
up no matter what because she's all I can think about day and night.
So here's my problem. It's a pickle, but it's going to be resolved. It's currently a sour pickle, but we're going to make that pickle goddamn kosher, which is obvious for very obvious, I would assume understandable reasons. I have not had the time or like emotional whatever. I'm like kind of not getting through the day, trying to figure out ways to get through the day, giving myself grace because the worst possible situation would be me being hopping on a podcast and just like crying and having nothing to say. I don't mm-hmm think that would be beneficial for AGs. I don't think that would be beneficial for myself.
Well, there goes my plan for today.
Oh, that's part two, my friend. So it's kind of like I've been, you know, thankful you recorded a solo episode. I have more episodes of the of the guest host series coming out just to like give myself a little bit of time. My dad died literally 2 weeks ago. So like it's just I've just needed a moment. And so as a result of what I had been going through the last several months, health wise, my dad, a lot of stuff happening, I just didn't have capacity to watch four franchises yeah at once. And so New York went by the wayside. Oh,
rightfully so.
Unfair for me. And then also Potomac. So I am going to catch up, but I'm also giving myself grace. And I've been, you know, thankful that there are however many seasons of Potomac has existed on the show. You can listen to those episodes of Andy's Girls. I've covered it from the jump. So just giving myself a little bit of a chance to like breathe and process stuff and also bring new content when I can. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, I mean, even just you texting me when I texted you and I was like, okay, I'm not caught up. I will be caught up on Beverly Hills and Salt Lake City, but I'm not caught up on Potomac in New York. And your response was like, well, I'm bringing up Stacey regardless. Like it does make me feel excited for the 15,000 episodes that I will watch about Potomac. Maybe this weekend. Maybe this weekend.
It is in an interesting place. That's the weird thing because they sort of did this like half cast reboot thing. Mm-hmm. So they easily could have lost me just because there still are, and deep into the season, the only newbie I feel like I know is Stacey.
Okay.
And which isn't great, but I'm so enthralled by her. I want to see the world through her eyes. She sees everything anew. She's shocked every day. It's just, she's such a character, and I can't stop talking about her in the most abstract way all the time. And then the returning players are bringing it as well. So really I also, like, you made the right decision in like putting those ones on pause because obviously New York is terrible and Potomac is just sort of in a weird, it's like
her
finding its
pace
footing. Yeah.
Growing place.
So, but there are good inns for it. Like Stacey is my inn where like, I don't care what else is going on that show. If I get to see her and her virgin boyfriend, I'm in. Like, she's bringing some interesting stuff and doing it in a way that I have not seen that this type of character on Housewives before. So,
does she give caricature or is it she just like bananas? Like, what's the energy? Because like you're giving me energy like old Angie K and maybe new Angie K. Old Angie K question mark, new Angie K exclamation point. Like, which
she's very pearl clutchy.
Okay.
In a way where she has shown up to do Housewives and the Housewives fight a little and she's like, oh my gosh, Oh my goodness. But in such a funny way.
I love her already.
Yeah, it's she truly, I struggle so much to describe her, so I'm so glad I have a microphone as I try to do so.
Welcome to the pod.
Exactly. But she's just a joy. She's just a joy. And I put on her QVC clips like it's Coco Melon, and I just sit back and just watch her sell these sweaters. Okay, so there's one sentence in her QVC where she's selling this sweater that says beach on it, as a sweater is wont to do. And she goes, I would wear this with a skirt. And I walk through life saying, I would wear this with a skirt. I would wear this with a pair of jeans and a wedge. I would wear this to brunch with the girlfriends. And it says beach on it, which is great because it reminds you of where you want to be. Like, it's just that classic, like, put on QVC, like, with a smile. It's just, oh, such a joy. So you'll have that to look forward to. And I think you'll get a kick out of that character.
And I don't have the connection to QVC, HSN that some people have. Like, I know that there are people who, like, used to watch it, that watch it, you know, where it's a very, very specific universe. That's just not a part of my life experience. But I did love that Showtime show. I love that for you, which unfortunately was canceled after a season. Just absolutely deserved a second. I actually think, I don't even know if you can still watch it. Showtime might have removed it.
I remember that happened at one point.
Right?
I hope it has found its way back or is available somewhere. But it was great.
It's crazy that they've, like, stricken it from the internet. It has to be for some weird, god-awful cost savings thing for, like, streaming or something, which is absolutely insane. But so that was kind of my entry because it focuses on a QVC, HSN-like environment. And I kind of love that there's a housewife that comes from that because it is just so different. It really genuinely is.
It is such a, like, it's almost like mega churches, like televangelism almost, where it's like, it's just such an interesting format to see these, like, dolled up women and gay men get in front of the camera. And truly, they are just spending hours and hours of airtime selling you something. I mean, Lisa Rinna. That's our other point of reference. Lisa Rinna and her dusters. There's a famous clip where she is on QVC selling a duster and says, they get a caller who calls in and she says, you know, what do you think of the look of this? Who had bought it previously? And she says, what do you think of the look of it? How do you like? She goes, well, the caller goes, well, I'm blind. And it's just close up on Lisa Rinna taking that information in.
Taking it in.
And it was just incredible. But yeah, no, it's a really interesting format that I just am so fascinated in. So I'm glad we get it to see it more with Stacey.
It is also a little bit of the challenge of having a public-facing personality join Housewives, where it's like, are you open to looking complicated? Are you open to be criticized? Like, how are you going to take that if you are in a sort of already kind of saccharine sweet hashtag safe space where everyone is just happy because of the Cardi or, you know, that pot and pan set is going to bring you an escape? Is this something, are you able to kind of disassociate from that or bring it with you and show us different universes? Yeah. That has to be complicated to do. And it's not just the QVC energy. It's like Garcelle joining the show to a very, very different way because Kathy was more famous because of, like, her last name, kid stuff. But, like, Kathy Hilton joining the show, Lisa Rinna joining the show. I would think Lisa Rinna more is a presenter necessarily than HSN. But, like, if you were considered a name, if your name was out there in the public domain, how does that work when you join Housewives? And our whole goal is to, like, see darker, complicated, maybe critical aspects of you.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I think that's sort of the make or break of, you know, when these public figures join the show is whether they are willing to play ball or if they have their own idea of what the show is going to be for them. Like, I think there are some people who come on and think this, oh, it's another gig. Mm-hmm. And similar to, like, hosting a talk show or something, and then you clock out of work. And then I think other public presenting people know better and think, treat it a little bit more like a documentary crew is following me and be more kind of open to that. And that is where I think it's more successful.
It has to be, well, not to, like, judge the two, compare the two against each other, but to be an actor joining Housewives, like the Eileen Davidson of it all. I think she did a spectacular job of just coming in and honestly dealing with people like Brandy, who did not want her to be a person, who wanted her to be a soap opera character, yeah, or at least was using that as a way to like manipulate moments. For Eileen, she came in and was like, yeah, this is the part I play. I bring with it some name recognition and fame, mm-hmm, from a specific, you know, from the soap opera world, which connects people in the way that like Housewives is addictive for some of us. So too is the universe of a soap opera world, where, mm-hmm, it's very, very specific. You feel like you know these people. You grow with them day to day. It's on TV constantly. It's on every day. Every day is a new episode. So there are different kind of challenges. There's challenges upon challenges with that. But she came in and was like, I play a part. I'm showing you who I am. Versus someone in Stacey's universe, where I would think, and again, not to like compare the two in a way that's critical of Eileen, but Stacey's like, I come in showing a version of myself. I'm not, mm-hmm, playing Tiffany who lives in Massachusetts. Like, yeah, I am coming in as Stacey who goes on TV, and my job is supposed to be friendly, charming, charismatic, someone that you want to continue to watch, mm-hmm, so that hopefully people continue to watch her and also buy things that she's selling. Like, that has to be especially challenging, because is she going to fuck up that other... Is she still working at QVC HSN?
That I'm not
Or the
positive.
Other one? There's another one, I think. Okay.
I feel like no, or like, okay, maybe she's on hiatus, because I do think QVC is based out of
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was probably explained like early on when she, okay, first shot, and I just am kind of forgetting.
I watched the first couple episodes. I mean, yeah, you know.
But yeah, I'm not sure. And then meanwhile, this boyfriend of hers is like an actor too.
Oh, is he?
And yeah, two isn't real, but
He's in the entertainment world, as she is. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So he does like guest roles on Grey's Anatomy and probably a bunch of the soaps and stuff. So there's a kind of double the interesting element there because of that.
Well, this makes me excited to catch up. And it does also kind of transition a little bit, in my head at least, to something coming out of Salt Lake City. I thought we were very well fed with Salt Lake City and, yeah, Beverly Hills this week. Like, genuinely good content, mm-hmm, on both. Although, to me, Salt Lake City is in an entirely different universe than anything else in the, yeah, face of the planet. Like, literally, women are from Venus, Salt Lake City is from Mars. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so thankful that the, yeah, galaxy exists. But Bronwyn's opening up on The Best Day, right? Was that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
The Best Day. And opening up about this quote-unquote infidelity, interesting use of words, versus like boundary crossing, but whatever, like emotional infidelity or whatever, because she clarified, I guess, on Watch What Happens that he didn't like fuck anyone. It wasn't physical, but it was some sort of yeah, I watched a couple of clips after, because I was like,
key to know.
It is key to know, because I was like, okay, she was walking it back.
Yeah.
So I was thinking in my head, like, did you... With Todd in the audience, mm-hmm, wearing a teddy bear shirt that probably cost more than my life. So she was walking back a little bit, more than a little bit. And on the part of the after show I watched, it was interesting because in the moment, the whole criticism from a segment of the cast to Lisa and Meredith was like, you're not supporting Bronwyn when she's sharing this thing about the fact that she doesn't feel seen or appreciated in her relationships, certainly in her marriage, but also in other areas. Mm-hmm. She's seen as not enough. The criticism against members of the cast in the moment was like, how dare you not support her and also seem to choose Todd in this matter? And that's before anybody knew, not that it, I mean, like, you can have an emotional affair that does exist, that can be, mm-hmm, incredibly upsetting, troubling, and everything for marriage. I'm not like dismissing it, but I didn't know that. It was information that I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
But also, then we go to the after show, where Heather Gay, who in the moment is like, rah, 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 go Bronwyn, on the after show completely flips to the other side and says, I can't believe she betrayed her marriage like that on camera, where the vets, excepting Whitney and Angie Kay, Lisa, Meredith, Heather, sort of Mary to an extent, are saying like, how dare she share this on camera? It's so unfortunate for her. She made the wrong choice. When I'm thinking like, what's your fucking job?
Yeah.
What I mean, I get you saying this might have a bad impact on her relationship, but like she's trying to say she doesn't feel like herself in her relationship. Mm-hmm. So to be a veteran at this point on Housewives and say, how dare she do this? I was genuinely surprised by that response. I really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and what's especially with Heather, I think she's generally so good because she is a fan and was a fan first and foremost. She's so good at recognizing good TV, so much so that you can often see it in her face as it's happening in front of her, like in real time. Mm. You see her and I see myself reflected because we're having the same response. But I do think that's really interesting that she sort of flipped. And I, of course, my mind goes to, you know, that could be because more things happened between them that kind of negates the or gives her less reason to give Bronwyn any grace. Mm. And just kind of wanting to get her licks in. For other unrelated reasons, because in the moment I thought, oh wow, this is huge for Heather because she's kind of coming around to this person. And I think a lot of the criticism Heather got this season was her behavior towards Bronwyn, I didn't necessarily agree with the criticism, just because I think that Housewives fans are spoiled in wanting the root of a feud or root of a, you know, kerfuffle between two people to be something tangible. Mm. To be like, oh, she doesn't like her because this happened, and yes, that makes sense, which is great and that's better storytelling, but sometimes you just don't like people. And I think with Heather and Bronwyn, the vibe seems to be, for whatever reason, Heather just doesn't like this woman. And like, it's tough on TV because that's not like the most cohesive storytelling. You know, we want to know, you know, a solid reason why, but I kind of get, not as it relates to Bronwyn specifically, but I just do get that sensation where sometimes people just rub you the wrong way and you're like, I just don't like this person, I don't like being around them, whatever. So I was excited to see Heather kind of come around in that moment. And yeah, I feel like there must be something we don't know yet that kind of led to that flip-flop.
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndySgirls for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of Heather's communications about Bronwyn have been not performative, but a little turn to the audience of this is what I experienced in a culture that I felt like didn't have a place for me, and talking about growing up Mormon and talking about, you know, feeling stuck in this marriage, where she has every right to be like, this is a thing that happened to me that changed me, and now I'm trying to figure out who it is that I am. Mm-hmm. She has every right to share that. I want to hear it. But also it felt like at some points it was like, and this harkens back to my thesis about women and men and marriage, where I feel like, okay, like I get what you're saying, but it doesn't feel as connective specifically to talking to Bronwyn in friendship in this friend circle, where it feels mm-hmm. like two women really connecting, until this week where I really saw it, where it felt like she wasn't mad at Bronwyn for whatever reason. And also because Bronwyn represents a version of like women making choices about being in different marital dynamics that drives Heather batshit insane. Mm-hmm. It felt like she was seeing Bronwyn more. So I was here for it. Like I actually really liked it because I felt like it was honest. And Bronwyn, because of how she was phrasing things, what she was saying, everyone just genuinely shut the fuck up. Like my favorite moment of the entire episode was Bronwyn starting to go in, Brittany being about to say something, and Angie K just being like,
so good.
I literally died. And I also was like, Angie, you get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
Oh my God. What a turnaround, Angie.
What a turnaround. Who like could believe?
Who could believe? I was doing recaps during her probably first season full time.
For Vulture, New York
good
Magazine.
Things to say. And now, give me the crow, I'll eat it. Give me a hat, I'll eat it. Egg on my face. Like, Angie, just incredible. And I think that was the consensus, so I take some solace in that. But like, just a great turnaround. I was just listening to her on Las Culturistas, and incredible episode. It was so funny. She's doing a ton of press right now, and all of it's so funny because she is riding such a high. Every interview she gives sounds like a post-game interview. It sounds like she's on the court toweling down, being like, you know what, it was tough out there, we had a tough couple of seasons, and then it came back, and now I'm center snowflake, and I'm there. And she's talking about it, she's like, and this is a message to all the kids out there, all the Greek kids, that you too can climb that ladder and go. Like, it's so genuine. Like, she's so thrilled, and I love this for her. I love this arc. So, but this was, oh my God, beyond.
Speaking of eating crow, I literally titled an episode during the Angie flop era that was like, Angie K exclamation point. That was the literal title of the episode, because I was like, this is giving flop. I don't get it at all. And now I get it so fucking much. Yeah. So there was like the Heather of it all, that kind of connection I appreciated. So to watch her kind of just jump off the cliff after the fact. And she also references essentially saying that she feels like she was manipulated by Bronwyn, because she says that the next day or something, Bronwyn was like posting on social media how much she loved her husband and saying all these other things, I guess, while they were on the trip. And Heather's criticizing that move and saying essentially she's trying to like cover her bases. But I'm thinking, of course she is. Wouldn't you, if you had just said this thing on camera, wouldn't you in your mind, just as an instinct, be like, okay, I just need to like show some other aspects of it? I feel like I get Heather saying it's manipulative. She might be right. Manipulative in a bad way. But I also think it's like troubleshooting.
Yeah, I think it's such a weird situation because this is something that isn't happening in the moment. This is an old thing that happened, and she kind of bounced back from, she's presenting it that way, that they got through this. So then is this sort of weird back and forth between the past and the present, I think, and understanding where is she at with it. But kind of on that note, something that I found interesting was her taking issue with who was it, Lisa and Meredith, that she thought was taking Todd's side, or
that Bronwyn was taking issue with them?
Yes.
Or
yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But I thought that was strange, because I thought that if anything, Lisa and Meredith, by giving Todd some grace, was really giving Bronwyn some grace, because she's still married to him. Mm. So her marriage is kind of now under this microscope. She's exposing this vulnerable part of her marriage that is essentially giving everybody a free pass to hate Todd. So this is like objectively a statement, a story that she is saying about an instance that puts Todd in a really bad light, but she is still married to him. So I think them kind of, you know, granting a little bit of grace with Todd was not saying, oh, I'm on his side, not your side, because you're married. So there isn't like those two sides. You guys aren't feuding. Todd and Bronwyn aren't feuding because they're still married. So I think it's them taking the side of their marriage and kind of giving support to Bronwyn in that way, rather than, you know, if he cheated and they split up and they were defending Todd, that's taking a side. But I think them granting a little bit of grace was sort of putting a Band-Aid over the whole marriage and saying, like, this isn't, you know, an evil person and you still together. It's a healed marriage, and here's the grace I'm getting. Like, they were sort of being voices in the room that were more supportive of that still existing marriage, I feel like.
But that was the issue, I felt, was that they weren't seeing her specifically as a person. That, like, the idea of marriage is you are still two unique individual people who have decided to make a life together. Bronwyn is saying, I'm losing myself in this marriage, and also maybe in relationships with friends, everyone else. I'm not feeling seen. So for their response to be like, let's see the other person's perspective, I also don't think their goal was to, like, help their marriage. I think in Bronwyn's eyes, and maybe mine, their goal or the impact of it was to minimize her pain, you know, where she's like, I don't feel like my feelings are valid, or I don't feel like people feel that my feelings are valid. And also I'm struggling with whether or not my feelings are valid. And their response is, are your feelings valid? Question mark. So I felt like in that moment, I thought more Angie K and Whitney were seeing her, and Heather, until she did a 180,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they were really seeing her more than this person that she keeps telling us she was good friends with, Lisa B, who we have not seen any evidence of that yet, mm-hmm. and Meredith, who's like going through something that seems big or mm-hmm. something.
It always is.
And is not telling us any fucking thing about it. So it, to me, I'm like, I don't know. And also the added complication here is then Bronwyn is still in this marriage, yeah. as you're saying, so that she goes on Watch What Happens. And again, I didn't have a chance to watch the whole thing, but I will. She goes on Watch What Happens and then is trying to walk back what she said yeah. during the episode. He's in the audience also, obviously, and is also kind of trying to walk it back on the after show, which is the thing that you do when you're maybe not like repenting, but she's trying to troubleshoot.
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking, okay, I get Lisa and Meredith's perspective. We're trying to help you, whatever he does in business. It's like connected to how he's seen as a person, whatever, yada, yada, bullshit. But also, if this isn't working out and her, can't she still sit in the reality that stuff is not working? Why does she have to clean it up in the way that she is now? I guess that's just life incorporated. I wish there could be the existence of, like, no, stuff. It's not that we're misunderstanding what's happening. I think some of us are understanding it clearly, and she might still be there. He might still not see her or help her, support her in the ways that she's saying she needs help and support.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to be in a marriage or a relationship and say, oh, yeah, it's bad. Like, no one's going to want to say that or say that. They're going to say, oh, it was bad and now it's good because of X, Y, and Z. So that's sort of, I think, the troubleshooting we're seeing from her. And from my read of it, which isn't necessarily their intention, of Lisa and Meredith was that they were doing similar troubleshooting that Bronwyn was doing, where they were sort of kind of, you know, giving that grace in the same way that Bronwyn was doing in the moment when she was talking about like the ring with five diamonds and five new promises. Like she was already in the moment kind of cleaning that up or saying it has been handled and we've come back from this. So I felt that and it's one thing coming from her and it's a different thing coming from the two of them. But in my head, I felt all three were sort of doing a little bit of troubleshooting because it's an awkward thing to say, I'm in this marriage and it's bad. So it's kind of, I felt like she was, there was definitely, I mean, this whole situation, like I said earlier, it's a weird line. They're sort of volleying between the past and the present in this situation. And I think there's that natural urge to be able to put a bow on it, whether or not that's true.
But I also think the issue is like the past is the present. He's not this infidelity, which certainly sounds like it absolutely was crossing boundaries. I don't want to dismiss Bronwyn using the term infidelity, even though she is sort of doing that in real time. There's that happening, him giving her a five diamond ring with five promises. And I do want to know what every single one of those promises was.
That
and
weren't
I think we will
made
know.
In the original.
Yeah. How do you.
Yeah. What were you missing? Fidelity is in that first one.
Right.
So.
And also, what did you feel like you didn't owe her then that you do now?
They're just super specific. It's about the iPad specifically.
I would hope. I don't think it's just about like the Starbucks mugs. I think that there's like maybe he didn't believe that he owed her parts of himself or that he owed her her own voice or something.
Everything about him. I just want to know how big that font was on the iPad that someone saw it. I think
That Gwen saw it, child saw it.
Gwen was across the room.
Oh my God.
I bet.
It was probably like 64. Yeah.
Huge font.
It was a big font.
Yeah.
Maybe 26. It was, there was something big happening, but I think the difficulty right now is I think Bronwyn is trying to tell us, and maybe she is, that she's completely past this point, but I don't know that she is. She's not treating it in the moment like it's past this point. Few, and usually they end up getting divorced, but there are couples who come on Housewives and then say like Housewives saved our marriage because they were forced to reckon with aspects of honesty that they did not want to present with to each other, or maybe didn't believe until the audience was like, no, we believe you, or we believe the other person, whatever.
And seeing themselves in
and
real time.
And not being able to hide behind false realities of like the Instagram filter of it all, of like our love is Valencia and that's all you need to know. This is a sort of weird positioning right now because I can understand why Bronwyn wants to pull some of this back, but it's not just like we're in a better place. It's also like maybe I shouldn't have said these things. And it's just it's interesting. I mean, like, why am I so befuddled by existing cast members telling her she shouldn't do that? They know more than she does that how saying stuff on camera can negatively impact a marriage. Like, as you said, like that does make sense. It's just a little bit of an LOL to me. Maybe the Heather of it all, the use of she betrayed Todd by saying it on camera, where I'm like, there is an audience expectation that we are going to be brought into vulnerable moments. So how many different ways are we going to punish Bronwyn for this? It's not going to be more than she's punishing herself.
But I would say, I mean, I do just want to know everything about her thought process in saying this on camera, because it felt, I think she knew she was going to do it, didn't slip out. It did come at an odd time that felt a little out of the blue, but also a little bit like, this is my last straw, like I'm, you know, hit a breaking point sort of, but in the defense of like the Housewives being like, oof, wouldn't have done that on camera. Like, how do you come back from this? Especially with it being Todd of all people who doesn't even like her getting into a small argument on camera as a housewife. I just don't see a world in which this went over well whatsoever with him. Like,
yeah, I don't know if he watched it.
Yeah. But I mean, if he was in the audience at Watch Red, like, he knows it. It's
right.
He
knew what happened. Yeah.
And I'm sure she had to do, I'm sure she brought it to him and kind of came clean that she brought it up on camera just to, like, do damage control as early as possible. But that just couldn't have gone over well. And I think it is something that, that's part of the reason I'm so curious about her decision to do it on camera and to say it on camera, is because it's not like we needed to know that to know they were, that their relationship is bad.
Mm.
Like, that we see. Like, we see all of the, and she, maybe she didn't know that we would see it. Maybe at this point of her filming, she thinks, my marriage is perfect and everything on the show shows it as such thus far, not knowing that we, the audience, are able to read between the lines and, like, not knowing the conclusions we would come to about what we make of that relationship. And she might think, oh, I need to share the vulnerability, without realizing that we were already kind of clued into that.
Yeah. What did she need to prove to herself versus the rest of the cast?
Yeah.
Right?
Because clearly, that's the thing. I'm just like, this was a choice that was made, and I'm very curious about the thought and the factors that went into making that choice.
I also think maybe she thought that there would be more moments of vulnerability and opening up that just haven't happened because she feels disconnected from everyone in the group. Like,
yeah.
she's now, like, you know, coming on over to Angie K and Whitney, but she's sort of been forced into it because she didn't want to be in that villa. She wanted to be in villa number one. Yeah. She didn't want to be in the backup villa. So she's, and they do seem to agree with her genuinely, although there's a little bit of a vested interest there too, in defending her, which I appreciate. But this also goes into the, I mean, God bless Britney. God bless her. An angel, like,
incredible queen of pop,
like, absolute clown, like, does not understand when to say things.
Guys, this is so unfair. I have an announcement and you guys didn't even care. I love her.
The way that she says, I have an announcement, and then drops in things after truly, like, beating the cast down with, like, the Jared of it all.
I know.
To say all of this stuff about him and then be like, aren't you happy we're back together? You're not celebrating these wonderful moments in my life. And also, you haven't really given the cast a lot of, or us, or maybe you haven't, it wasn't shown, a lot of information about what happened that led to the estrangement of your kids, except you're addicted to love and maybe did not, but, like, did not care for them. And maybe, I mean, like, are we going to cut the show? Like, maybe chose a partner, or maybe it was a terrible situation and they felt like they were trapped in it. I really don't know what happened there, but...
Which makes it so much funnier.
We don't know.
A daughter? I was like, what? This, like, is so out of the blue. It was so... And surely it's been... cut. Like, I'm sure she talks about that every day the camera goes up.
I don't know that she does.
I think she sees a camera and it's lights, action, and me without a system makeup. Like, I think she is just, she twirls into frame and she's just, I honestly do want to kind of interview her just to hear about,
oh my God, I would
everything
love.
That she thinks was cut from her.
But I think she probably did say what she felt comfortable saying. My guess is she's probably also sensitive to the fact that if both of her kids are estranged from her and one is, like, slowly allowing some communication to happen, she doesn't want to say too much. Like,
Tamara.
Except Tamara then does say too much while saying she can't say too much. So I don't know exactly what her thinking is behind some of this, but these people don't know you, number one. They don't know your children. They know Lisa and have a long-term relationship with her. And also, you're a friend of who we just met 5 minutes ago. To constantly compare yourself to the rest of the cast in the way that she's doing, to demand a certain level of celebration when half these people don't like you, the other half are like, who is this person, is probably not going to be successful.
And it's incredible.
She just has the worst instincts, which I love so much. It's excellent television.
It's phenomenal. She also might not have known that she was a friend at that point.
True. Good point.
So I think that's another interesting dynamic. And she filmed almost, like, full time. Like, she was getting solo scenes with Jared at the Hard Hands. Like, she was doing a good amount. So It is interesting, but now that's another one. I'm so fascinated by her, and I love her presence when she's in a room and she's singing. And I knew also the slow discovery online of her being a musical theater girly has been phenomenal. And I clocked it very early on because when they were skiing, I think some other people have probably posted about this, but there's a 1.5 second shot of her going down the mountain and she's like singing, like she's, and it is the like melody that Rapunzel sings in Into the Woods. Like I recognized it. I could hear it anywhere, and I'm like, "Yep, I clocked that." It was so short.
I don't remember this.
It was it was like an a B-roll scene, and I was like, "I see you." Like something's. We're gonna find out more here, and then now we're getting her defying gravity and her playing the Ariel at Disneyland Tokyo or something. Like she's lived a life.
Yeah, she went on tour with, I was about to say Chess. It wasn't Chess. Miss Saigon.
Oh my God, yeah. And she had, she just, of course, released her holiday EP, which is aptly titled Britney's Holiday EP, which features Jingle Bells, What Child Is This, and Oh Holy Night, spelt O-H. And I believe it's normally spelt just O, but I'm not one who's to say. I don't want to. But it was like, oh, holy night.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I honestly love her, but I find her, I don't know that I agree with anything that she's ever said. Nor do I need to to appreciate and celebrate her on this show. The thing that I do especially like about her is how much Bronwyn dislikes her, because that's just fun magic.
Yeah.
When it's just like, you're a bitch. Like Britney just saying, and then attempting to sort of walk it back with some level of empathy when Bronwyn loses her mind.
Mm-hmm. And Mary as well.
Oh my God.
Like the roles. That was when I knew we got magic in a bottle. When they had that original conversation in the premiere about putting bread in your purse.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was great.
Well, the Mary, I mean, what Mary said on this episode when she's talking about Robert Jr. and like, you know, so I believe that she went with him to a treatment center, to a rehab out of state. I think that's what she was saying, what she was doing before she felt comfortable leaving to go on the trip. Completely understandable. Mm-hmm. Him just being so fucking vulnerable and also hopeful in that scene that they had together this week was so impactful. And also it just was like, gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And her explanation of you know he needs to want to do this, I can't force this, leading into reuniting with Angie and doing the thing that very, very different circumstances that Bronwyn doesn't believe she has, which is a friend to help you if you fall. Like what Mary is talking about is like the trust fall exercise of friendship. I think specifically like women with other women, which hashtag women supporting other women. Like she has someone who she feels like she can fall in front of, number one, be vulnerable, share private information, have this person not judge her, be there for her, be able to like just listen to her and also catch her when she's feeling like she can't stand on her own. She shouldn't have to. She has a friend to help support her. Like that is really, really critical and important and beautiful to watch and believable. Like I believe her. I believe their friendship and the love that they have for each other, which has like sort of come out of nowhere, but God bless. I'm so thankful that Mary has Angie, because I don't think she has anyone. Like we're not even referencing Robert Sr. Where the fuck is that guy while this shit is going down
and the
with
church?
His son?
Oh, that fell, by the way, which is great. But remember, I mean, that was her kind of exit, was they started like poking around the church, and now nobody, a care in the world.
Nobody's going near it with a 10-foot pole, production, the cast, you know, everybody. And then I'm just thinking about Bronwyn, who's like, well, I've known Lisa for 10 years and I don't feel any of this.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Bronwyn deserves, but I do think she has an argument here that Lisa isn't defending her in the moment. I mean, like, Brittany literally was like, "You're a stupid whore," and Bronwyn's looking at Lisa blinking, and Lisa's like, that's not my yeah. fight. That's your fight. I don't need to do that for you. Yeah. I don't know how to describe their friendship.
Yeah. It is interesting. I feel like Bronwyn has put these expectations on Lisa because she was her into the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I look at that and I think it's a classic case of like, you need to set your expectations for a person based on who that person is. Like, there is no, you can only expect how much someone is able to give. And I think Lisa as a friend has some capabilities, and there are some things that you're not going to get from that friendship, and you have to understand that. And I think we are kind of watching Bronwyn learn that in real time. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a strike against Lisa. Like, I don't think it's objectively bad, but like, it just has to be clear to both parties. Like, me as a friend, these are the perks. Mm-hmm. This is what you get. This is premium version. You don't get these if you're paying for standard or whatever. Like, and I think Bronwyn and Lisa, and it's not always equal. I think that with this especially is a good example of Lisa's expectations of Bronwyn might be higher than Bronwyn's of Lisa's. And I think we're watching her sort of get a grasp on, and specifically get a grasp on being friends with Lisa on camera. Because mm-hmm. I think that surely is a difference versus being friends with Lisa in real life, as we've heard happened, versus now kind of being friends with her while she's at work on the show.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes Bronwyn is saying she wants a friend when she wants an ally. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, God bless. I don't think Lisa's prepared or interested in giving her either. But what Meredith and Lisa now have again is maybe less of the intimate friendship that they used to have, but a stronger relationship in this world of Bravo Housewives. I think mm-hmm. Heather and Lisa is similar. Like, it's, you have an ally. We're calling you a friend, a good friend or whatever. But this is someone who you're going to have your back and they have yours, where it's strategic and whatever else. And what Bronwyn is looking for is maybe even just the ally, and she's not getting that. Yeah. But also when it comes to sharing personal emotional information, definitely a friend.
Yeah. And I think something really insightful into the situation and how Lisa navigates this world is something she said in a confessional where about the situation with Bronwyn, where she goes, I don't expect you to not be friends with with everyone that I'm feuding with, and vice versa. Otherwise, I'd have no friends, or Bronwyn would have no friends, or something. And that I thought was just really insightful into how she views the game of housewives and allyship within that kind of sphere, where she's like, we can't be expected to have these hard lines of teams and being allies and enemies and this, because otherwise that just puts up walls that then everyone is kind of handcuffed by and everyone's restricted by, because it's like, once you start playing that game and say, oh, well, I'm friends with this person, like, okay, I'm one character and I am in conflict with A and B, and I'm friends with this person and they are in conflict with C and D. So if we bring the transitive property into Housewives, that silos everybody and no one can be friends with anybody. And it's just, you can't start that game. Otherwise, the whole thing unravels, I feel like.
Yeah. And also, if you're friends, does that immediately make you leap from friends to enemies? Like, is there mm-hmm. an in-between? I don't think that Bronwyn wants there to be an in-between. She feels like she doesn't deserve it. She wants to have someone actively in her corner. And maybe Lisa's like, no, I want the in-between. And if you don't agree to this, then yeah, then you go to the negative. Then we get into enemy territory.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Mm. It really is. I just, not to circle back to this, because I guess maybe it is a little bit of a nothing burger. But the framework of Meredith saying she was, it's possible. I'm sure filming the show is so fucking overwhelming. I would be breaking down every 30 seconds. It's just so much stress, so much pressure, a camera crew following you, constantly thinking in your head, how is this going to look to the audience? How is it going to look for myself, for my family, loved ones, whatever the fuck I'm saying on camera? Like, I'm sure it's very, very overwhelming and stressful. Mm-hmm. And also, the idea that Meredith was so upset about perceptions of slut shaming that she was crying alone in her room at night because of the slut shaming, heaving because of the slut shaming of all. I was like, so it's actually genuinely possible that she was just overwhelmed and was like, this is too much. It's a lot of emotion. But something was off about her the whole fucking episode. So yeah. I don't know. It could have been that. It could have been she didn't sleep and she was just emotionally exhausted and she wants to go home. That genuinely might be what happened. Or maybe there's some other shit. And what is that other shit? Like, someone tell me, please.
Yeah, that was... Also, I did love the, like, game of telephone montage of it, too. And seeing it escalate, like, right by the time it got to Angie, it was like she was throwing up buckets. Like, there's so much and sobbing and But it was fascinating because I'm like, you got to be crying pretty loud for people to hear you, which maybe that sort of circles back to what we're getting about secret recordings coming up.
Wait a second. Oh, wait. Okay, now that's connecting in my head. Because it looks like the secret recordings involve... We saw the teaser for... Not even the teaser, the trailer for next week. Obviously, we've seen the season-long trailer, mid-season trailer as well. So are we all on the same page that it involves Brittany?
My understanding was that it was... Meredith was accusing Brittany of secretly recording, like putting a tape recorder in her room.
In her room?
That was my... I might have been connecting dots, but...
Could she have been like, you know, with the glass? Could she have just been leaning up against the room with the glass? I don't even know if that works. And then also somehow putting her iPhone in the glass and just recording it through the walls. Probably. Is that why she kept referencing it? Because she wanted to catch Meredith in a trap so she could like release the tapes or
potentially
or maybe she wanted to intern for production.
Because that was, I think, I mean, that was just going off of like the trailers and such. Was that like the kind of my understanding at least, and I might be missing something or connecting dots that aren't there, but was, okay, Meredith is accusing somebody of putting a recording device in my room or something. And now that this has come up, I'm like, oh, I bet this is somehow involved. Because it's not like if she's alone in her room, she's not going to be saying anything. Like, it's not going to be a hot mic moment that's like... So I feel like it's more likely than not that we circle back to the crying, especially because not much came of it. So why put it in the show?
Right. So many times.
We're definitely coming back to that because otherwise they wouldn't have made it such a thing. I think it would have just been like, oh, well, if she says she was upset and that, like, then why are we talking about it? I think we'll come back to it. And I think, I'm curious to see if either Brittany does have a recording of the crying being like, clearly something is wrong, because, or if Meredith kind of on her own accord is like, how could she have heard me? Like, no one would have heard me cry, and jumps to that conclusion on her own. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out. But I imagine this is sort of our entry point into that plot point.
I mean, I hear when my neighbors cough, and the neighbor across the way, it's directly into their apartment and they leave their windows open all day. So I just hear them have conversations, which is really fun. But that's like a nice hotel.
Yeah.
But they are in villas, so it's like not the same thing as a totally different room. But still, there's some wall there. Talk about someone putting their walls up. Like, there's some active concrete and wood and stuff.
And again, crying isn't the loudest thing in the world. So for her to hear it, it would have to be super loud crying. And normally, it's like if you're around other people, you can cry silently. And I would imagine Meredith would do such a thing. Like, she wouldn't be like wailing, knowing that people are right here who can very well bring it up on camera. So I could see it being like, she's thinking it's quieter maybe than it really is. And that's why she's like, sus that she heard that.
I almost instinctively do not believe that Brittany would put a recording device in Meredith's room, because that's so insane. But if she did, Holy
She should win
shit.
A Peabody.
She should win. I think she did. I think we're going to give her one. We're not going to... That I have an announcement. I mean, for someone who wants to make a headline out of sometimes odd and strange updates to her personal life, I don't even understand. I don't understand what would have inspired the decision to do that unless she genuinely thought, like, I need to be on production side so that they'll have me back. So I'm going to get, or I feel like this person is going to lie about something. So I'm going to get evidence. Yeah. But like, if your instinct when you hear someone crying is to record it, or you had already put a recorder, that is
unless
strange.
It's she heard the crying the first night and she denied it. So she was like, let me try for night two and see if she does it again. But I do think more likely than not there was no recorder, or it was like through the door the second night or something. Like I think it's, I don't think like God is only so good. I don't think we're blessed that much that we're gonna get another secret recording.
There would be, Meredith, maybe Meredith is just, and this isn't honestly even me dragging Meredith, but maybe Meredith is just like, oh, you recorded whatever. Like maybe there is nothing there, but if there is something there, that is a wild thing to do, especially your first season. It reminds me of, God, I feel like we've been here before. I don't know. About
it was in OC where it was the baby was crying.
That's exactly Ireland.
Yes,
Peggy 100th Housewife and Megan King Edmonds, right?
And she was like, your baby was crying all night and you weren't taking care of it. And she pulled out the baby. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the recording part. That is what I was thinking though. But I was thinking for some reason about Megan King and the baby, but I forgot that there was a recording involved. Fuck. That's gonna be and we get that next week, allegedly. We get that maybe the end of next week.
Who are probably getting? Yeah, because there's I think there's
2 weeks.
Yeah,
is there a hiatus?
That's a good question, actually, with the holidays. I don't know.
I think that there might be a hiatus between episodes.
Oh yeah, because I think it's Christmas like on a Wednesday, so
yeah
it won't.
And New Year's is
even though it's the one thing I want for Christmas. But yeah, New Year's. Yes. So we'll probably get a hiatus before the finale.
Wow.
Oh, well, no, I guess two. That makes sense because they wouldn't want to stick a hiatus like right at the very end and disrupt. So they'll give us two new ones after the holidays and then the reunion, I guess.
Oh, God, I cannot wait. And also now we know the husbands are there because Todd was like, I was at the reunion.
Oh.
In that little clip I saw from Watch What Happens. So.
Well, that's good. We need him there. Genuinely. Sounded sarcastic.
We do. No, but like do. Also.
He needs to be confronted.
And a little bit of sarcasm isn't out of place too. I don't even know what to say about their relationship. I don't know that he has, I mean, she's telling us he doesn't have capacity to support her in the ways that she needs. Like him responding to the dog bite and being like, dog attack and being like, well, it's probably nothing. I mean, if she's telling you she's upset, isn't that something? Am I being Pollyanna and feeling that way?
Wouldn't it be funny if it was like a Boy Who Cried Wolf situation and Bronwyn is constantly alleging to be attacked by dogs.
And he's like, not
and
again.
She's not.
Well, they have sex.
It's yeah, that's true, actually. But, you know, that was crazy. That was a bad look. And again, it's like, you're saying this on camera. You must know that it's a bad look for, unless it's, you're just so jaded to it at this point that you don't realize how bad that is. Like, it might just be, this is so run of the mill for the two of them that she doesn't realize, but yeah, it's interesting. I will. This isn't anything super recent, but they reference it still a lot because of the fighting that took place there. I think it is so funny to have Real Housewives arguing about things that took place at one of the housewives' bat mitzvah.
Love it.
It's so good.
Mazel of the day. Honestly,
I feel like I'm in high school again or middle school again, where it's like, you kicked me out of your bat mitzvah. I wasn't invited to the bat mitzvah. This happened at the bat mitzvah. It's so funny. I love it so much. And I love that we got Reed on camera.
Yes.
The other marks.
The not forgotten son.
Yeah.
The son who
certainly not forgotten.
Like the Osbournes. Remember there was that other Osborne whose face was always pixelated out?
Oh my gosh,
The other daughter.
It all comes back.
I do
say it one more time. Brittany appears.
I can tell we are just getting started. So head on over to part two, available now.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.